Prague is renowned for its beer halls and pubs, but not so famous for its wine bars. All this week, however, a brand new festival is taking place to try and get Czechs and tourists alike off the beer and onto the wine. Prague Wine Week started on Monday and will culminate in a tasting session of more than 300 wines on Friday evening. Sharka Duškova is the festival's organiser.
We love wine, and we think that such kind of festival like Prague Wine Week is a good thing for Prague, because we would like to increase drinking of the wine in Prague, and we find this good way to do it.
The Czech Republic is very often famed for beer consumption, but would you say in recent years Czechs are becoming more interested in drinking wine and becoming more cosmopolitan when it comes to drinking wine?
Czech people are biggest beer drinkers in the world. They drink 160 liters of beer per capita per year. What's amazing. And we think that the consumption of wine is quite low in comparison with beer. We drink only 18 or 20 liters of wine per capita per year. We think there is no reason why Czech people should not drink the same amount of wine as, for example, Scandinavian, and consumption in Scandinavia is double than consumption now in Prague.
The guest of honour at this year's festival is John Salvi, an English wine expert whose professional credentials include evaluating a certain Soviet leader's drinks cabinet.
I was asked to have a look at the cellar, which was put together by a Tsar, and which was later taken over by Stalin. And he was quite keen on his wine, and he put together a cellar, thousands and thousands of bottles of Georgian wine, but at the same time a number of bottles of the great wines of Bordeaux, the Lafites, the Latours, the Chems, the Moutons. And there these wines are sitting in a sort of horrible, damp, concrete cellar in the middle of Tbilisi.
Mr. Salvi is no stranger, then, to travelling the world in pursuit of fine wine. But what exactly was it that brought him to Prague?
I'm here entirely and completely because of Sarka, who has adopted me as her mascot, and who's asked me if I will take patronage of the Gala Tasting and Festival Prague Wine Week, which I'm honoured and delighted to do.
How would you, as an expert on these things, compare Czech wines, very generally speaking, to wines from around the rest of the world? Can they compare? Are they as good?
Well, of course, that's a $64 question, isn't it? I mean, that's what it's fundamentally all about. There is huge dynamics going on, and this, because I spent a whole week in Moravia last year, I visited a lot of wineries, and I was excited to see what's going on. On the other hand, unfortunately, it's true to say that a lot of the wines produced are still of very basic quality indeed. But those that are making fine wine, I just wish that they would take more interest in the export market. At the moment, they don't seem to feel that they need the export market. They've got a very good market in Prague. They can sell most of what they produce without a great deal of effort. But I think it's a pity.
Could you maybe give our listeners, should they come across some Czech wine in a shop near them, a kind of a beginner's guide to what to go for and what to avoid? Are there some rules of thumb that one should use when dealing with Czech wine?
Well, I think we will try and avoid what to avoid. there are some smallish, extremely fine producers. There are some very fine winemakers, absolutely, and they're distributed all over the place. But what I also find very exciting personally is the number of new crossbreeds, in other words, new grape varieties that have been produced by crossing other grape varieties. You've got this Lorot, you've got this Malverina, you've got Palava, you've got Cabernet Moravia. You've got a wonderful one, which is a cross between Ali Bernet and Revolta and André. I mean, you know, these are something utterly new, unknown, and would be very exciting on the export market because there's no competition at all.
Do you think that Czech wine gets a bit of a sort of bad name unnecessarily abroad? Do you think that's slightly unfair?
Yes, I think it's slightly unfair. I don't actually think it does have a bad name. Sadly, I don't think it has a name. You say to people in most countries in Europe that are any distance from the Czech Republic, what do you know about Czech wines? And they'll say, well, I didn't know they produced wines in the Czech Republic. So result is, no, it doesn't have a bad name at all. It has no name, and therefore it stands in a perfectly good position to create one.
So, an upbeat note to end things there from John Salvey. But what of Czech wine producers themselves? Do they share Mr. Salvey's measured optimism? Marek Špalek is the head of Nové Vinařství, one of the biggest Czech wineries to take part in this year's Prague Wine Week.
I think we are able to, in the future, to sell our wines in the Europe, in the world. But our main problem is nobody knows the Czech wines. Everybody knows Czech beer, but Becherovka, but not Czech wines. And if we come somewhere to offer our wines, everybody thinks it will be very cheap wine. But to produce wine in Czech Republic, because we are on the north part of the wine region in Europe, to produce one bottle of wine is more difficult than in Italy or France. Nobody is ready to pay such a high price for wine which is not so well known.
So what can be done? Things like Prague Wine Week, or what can be done?
Yes, I think this is the best way to start our wines on the foreign markets. To make marketing, to make the propagation presentation, and to say to all the world, our wines are have the same quality than Austrian wines, German wines.
Mr. Špalek will be in Prague alongside nearly 100 other wine producers on Friday to bring the wine festival to a suitably Dionysian close. Details on the mammoth wine tasting and the Czech vintners to have taken part in the Prague Wine Week can all be found on www.praguewine.cz.
And that edition of Panorama by Rosie Johnston is all we have time for on today's programme.